This is Phil Rowe.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Now, like many bats, Egyptian fruit bats are nocturnal. They spend their days roosting in trees or caves, often with large groups of other bats, sometimes numbering in the thousands. They emerge from the roost to forage for food in the late evening and return just before dawn. They hang upside down. Do that sometimes. With their wings folded closely around their bodies. Only joking. You can come up close to a cloud of bats and have your hair rustled as you stand close to them swooping past you, just centimetres from your head in the nocturnal house. And nearby, it's down at Shepworth Wildlife Park. I met up with the keeper of the colony there and I went along to meet Dean Ward. Dean Ward, one of the keepers at Shepworth Wildlife Park, is with us this afternoon. We've sought some shade. As we talk, you'll probably hear a little bell in the background. It's not fire evacuation. It's the fact that some children and families enjoying themselves on a little circular ride that goes around the park, a little miniature railway that people can enjoy. But we're in one of the shelters here. Dean has many responsibilities on site. One of them is to look after bats. You've got one species of bat here.
Yes, we have indeed. Yeah, we've got the Egyptian fruit bat, and their name is a bit misleading. They're not only found in Egypt, and they don't only eat fruit, but we have about 45 individuals in our nocturnal house at the moment, and we have bat pups born every year, so that could increase. Hasn't this year so far, but it may do soon.
Do you have to control their numbers therefore, Dean? Does it mean that, you know, you've got 45 and the house is full if you get 50?
I have to find about 10 kilograms of fruit and veg a day, and that's just for the bats alone. So you can imagine, with all the other animals on site, that's a lot of fruit and veg. We very kindly get some donated by Berry Lane, which is a local garden centre. We also buy some fruit and veg in. Over the winter it can be quite difficult to find enough fruit, but we do find enough fruit for these guys every day. And with a population of 45, if that increased, we might have to think about maybe swapping with other groups around the UK. That's something we have done in the past. But 45 is a nice number, really.
These 45 bats, both old and young, do they know it's feeding time? Do they swamp upon you as you open the door?
Absolutely they do. So we've got them housed in the nocturnal house, and we cycle their day and night around. So our nighttime, it acts like their daytime, is when they roost and go to bed. Vice versa, when we're in there, when they're active, we need to see them flying around. We need to see them feeding. That's quite important for our job. Part of our job is to health check all our animals as well. So that's what I do. We swap their day and night around so I can achieve that. They do know when it's feed time. They usually hear my voice. A lot of animals react to our voices on the park. So they'll hear my voice and they'll all come out and get active, start flying around all the visitors' heads. And the visitors, once they're inside the nocturnal house, they really enjoy the experience. I think people don't get that experience of being with bats a lot. So once they're in there, they love it.
So they're coded. They're almost keyed to you, Dean. They're programmed. They know keeper equals food. Well, not you as their food, but the fruit's coming.
To a certain extent, it's a good thing, but we do like to mix things up occasionally, and that is enrichment for the animal. If we fed the animal the same time every day, it would no longer be interesting for them. So we like to stagger the feed sometimes. Also, we feed them in different places around the nocturnal house. It's quite a long building, but by hanging the food in different places, it's just more interesting for the bats. And that's quite important for all our animals. If we fed them in the same place at the same time every day, it wouldn't be interesting for them. So by mixing that up, it just makes the bats more interested, really.
And I guess you'd always want more room than you've got. One thing I like about this park is its intimacy. It's not big, but it's not small. And I suppose the bat house that you use, you'd probably want a lovely vast hangar, but they've got enough room to fly about and in the area that they have got.
And one question I always get asked is, do they bump into you? Well, I always say to people, when you're walking around a country park or something, do animals normally bump into you? And they don't really. These guys have got echolocation. They're making a noise in their mouth and they send out that noise. The noise will bounce off something like a tree or a rock. It's called echolocation, and it's how they avoid us. So even within that captive environment in the nocturnal house, they're able to avoid us, and that's quite important for them. if they bump into us, they could damage themselves quite easily. So they fly around us, and it's a great experience. And I'm sure it's the same with our native bats. So if you see a native bat flying around, they're not going to normally bump into you straight away. They will avoid us.
During dusk in the summer, it's wonderful in our garden. And 10 doors down, the neighbours have never seen this, but we got a couple of pipistrelle bats. In fact, I think it's 2 times 2 pairs. And to see them at the moment around about sort of just before 9 o'clock, when it's just getting dark, and they have amazing acrobatic skills. They remind you of swallows in the background there, and there's quite a speed there. So they're using this sonar ultrasound above what we can hear.
And the reason that we can't hear bats in this country echolocate is it's advanced echolocation. It's a lot faster. They need it to hunt insects. And that's the difference between our fruit feeding bats and the insect feeding bats in this country. Theirs is more advanced. So what you can do, and it's a fantastic thing to do, go on a bat walk, go on a bat punt tour, you can take a bat detector out with you, and you can learn all about your British bats as well. It's a fantastic thing to do, and I encourage everyone to get bat interested. There's a Bat Trust website as well. Great resource to look at all our native bats and to see how to conserve them. The reason we need to conserve them, they're in the food chain. Without them in the food chain, we'd have too many insects. We need to make sure that we conserve bats in this country. The Egyptian fruit bats are pollinators, and as all pollinators do, they spread plant matter, they spread seed around in their environment, and that again is important to us. We need plants to survive. So yep, bats are incredible. I'm a big bat fan.
I can tell. At guano, which is the bat droppings, they must generate 45 of them in this colony, a huge amount of that. What happens to it?
Most of it goes on the wall. I have a bat scraper.
And whose job is it as the bat scraper? Is it sort of one of the first junior incumbents that comes to work for Shepworth Wildlife Park? Here, day one, Monday morning. Right, here's a scraper. Go scrape out the bat's poo.
Absolutely. It's initiation. No, not quite as bad as that. But yes, it all goes on the wall. And also with our visitors, sometimes they may get a little bit lucky with a bat poo on them. You never know. I always say it's a lucky thing. Certainly they do produce a lot of feces, obviously. We keep it nice and clean in there. We clean 4 times a day in our bat enclosure. It's such a great experience for people to fly around, but we always know we have to make sure it's people friendly as well. So we do make sure we clean up after them.
Now, because there can't be too many colonies of Egyptian fruit bats here in the UK, are there many other sites that have been studying this particular species of bat around Britain?
The studies around Britain for our native bats, certainly there's some great charities out there, and there's a lot of conservation work and a lot of rehoming of bats. They tend to suffer from habitat loss. So our native bats, we're very good at knocking down dead wood, knocking down sheds, knocking down outbuildings, and they lose their natural habitats. They semi-hibernate over the winter, and that's important to them because it's quite cold, so they need that semi-hibernation as well. The Egyptian fruit bat is high in population in the wild, so there's no such conservation efforts as such, but we do use them for awareness and education as well, which is really, really important. So I use those fantastic fruit bats to educate people about our native insect feeding bats.
Do you get naturalists knocking on the gates of Shepworth Wildlife Park coming to say, well, we know you've got a colony of Egyptian fruit bats, can we come along and do some scientific research or study on them?
We have students who have done studies on our Egyptian fruit bats in many ways. We've looked at how visitor numbers affect their behaviour. We've also looked at different types of enrichment for them. So we can feed them in slightly different ways. We can put movable platforms up for them. They seem to like those. Also boxes as well. We put the fruit in boxes and they seem to respond well to that. So it's important, not just the bats, all our animals on site. We're always doing research and ensure that we can improve their lives.
I suppose for humans, we're beginning to understand the bats, and we know more about the behaviour that they like, that they enjoy. And so you deviate their environment, and we can manipulate the environment to make it even better for them. We always use the word fulfilment and enrichment.
Enrichment is not only important for captive animals, but for wild animals as well. If we've changed their habitat, it's important that we come along and then make their lives better, really. You can build bat boxes now. If you go on the Bat Trust website, a bat box can go up in your garden. If you get bats breeding there, it's a fantastic thing to have in your garden. It only needs a small amount of space. We even have bats on site, wild bats on site, probably pipistrelle. I'm not sure of the species, but we've seen them recently, which is fantastic. So once you've got bats in your area, it's a great thing to have because you know that you have a good ecosystem. Without insects, you wouldn't have bats, and without good habitat, you wouldn't have insects. So it's all sort of a knock-on effect.
And we, the population, the human the Homo sapien must make sure that we preserve and protect their environment wherever we can. My thanks to Dean Ward from Shepworth Wildlife Park for his time on a busy Saturday last summer. The Bat Trust website that Dean was talking about is the Bat Conservation Trust, and their website address is bats.org.uk. That's bats.org.uk. Working to secure the future of bats in our ever-changing world.